everyone loves.
J-Air 87.8 FM. On air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And online at j-air.com.au.
Wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again.
Well, welcome to the Travel Writer Show on J-Air 87.8 FM, brought to you by the Professional Association of Lifestyle and Travel Writers. Thanks for joining us from this special outside broadcast coming to you live from the In One Voice Festival in Elsternwick, City of Melbourne. I'm Graham Kemlow, and Travel Writers Radio is your weekly source of food, wine and travel inspiration. We're on the wireless, we're on the internet, and we're on your smartphone. We're available 24/7 on SoundCloud. So you could go to soundcloud.com/Travel Writers Radio. Well, this afternoon we have an interview with Brett Kay. Now, Brett's worked at Sydney and Melbourne Jewish schools, Moriah College, Bialik and Mount Scopus, and he creates programs for children and families to appreciate Jewish heritage and culture through travel. He's led programs to Israel, Poland, Germany, other parts of Eastern Europe. He's currently the cantor at Melbourne's largest Jewish community synagogue, the St Kilda Hebrew Congregation. So Brett's combined his love of education, travel and singing in a role where he heads up the special interest group travel team at Executive Edge Travel. So that's what we're going to talk to him about today, and I'm sure he can inspire you here and those at home with his favourite destinations and some great travel advice. Brett, great to have you on Travel Writers Radio. Tell us, what's your favourite destination?
Graham, first of all, thank you very much for having me on this program. It's wonderful
Pleasure.
To be here on this amazing day.
It is an amazing day
Hot,
here.
Hot, sunny day in Elsternwick. We're loving it. So my favourite, well, that's like how long is a piece of string, isn't it?
I know, but a travel agent
from one traveller to another, Graham, that's
yeah.
a tough question, isn't it?
It
well,
is.
Well, I suppose I'd answer that by saying, what's my favourite destination to travel, depending on the mood that I'm in.
Okay.
So after, let's say, for example, after a really strenuous few months at work and I need somewhere just to relax and to chill, I love going to places like Hawaii.
Yep.
Which will take me there from Sydney direct, where I can have some beautiful, beautiful resorts that I can access, where I can enjoy the culture, but at the same time be in America.
Yes.
Enjoy the shopping, beautiful beaches, but explore the wonderful heritage that is uniquely Hawaii.
Yeah, I agree with you absolutely on Hawaii. I think it's a bit of an unsung hero for many
so.
Of us. We go there and we think it's all Waikiki, grass skirts and coconut implants, if I can use that term. But there's a terrific ancient culture that I was lucky enough with a group of travel writers to discover a few years ago. And we wrote some great stories about, you know, the traditions of the Hawaiians, including how important the taro plant is to them. It's almost a spiritual plant to them. And
That's
there's
right.
great stories that go with that.
And also, Graham, the wonderful Princess Kailani.
Yes.
Her story, what a brave woman she was.
Yeah, being locked in the palace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to unpack some of that information and really the history of the Hawaiians and the indigenous people to Hawaii is wonderful.
It's,
but besides that,
yeah.
it's a great place to chill.
Oh, it is. And it's relatively close, you know,
it
in
is.
Terms of
it is.
Going somewhere exotic. Yes, you can go to Asia, of course. But
that's right. I was going to say, Graham, for people who would like to avoid Asia,
yep.
not for any other reason than they've been there a million times before,
yeah.
it's a wonderful destination.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's one of my favourites. And I went there in the days when you could earn frequent flyer points, and some of them came with a free night in a hotel and a free rent a car. That was my holiday for the kids. And I'm pleased to say that we've done some intergenerational holidays now because they are taking their kids. So to go and stay in this part of the world is a great treasure. And I've really enjoyed it. I'm pleased that it's something you would enjoy too.
And I suppose while we're in the region, whilst not being America, I think New Zealand is also quite an unsung destination for a lot of us.
Yes, it is. It's so close that I think maybe it's just too easy to fly straight past.
It's around the corner, and often people think of New Zealand as a cruise destination, that
yep.
one needs to go on a cruise, and the waters are notoriously choppy getting there, and some people are a lot of people come in and they'll say, Brett, you know, we want to sail, but we're scared to sail that water to New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it can be choppy.
Yes.
And for people who are sensitive, that is very valid. However, a 3-4 hour flight to New Zealand takes you to a place that is quite marvellous. And I'll tell you, the last time I was there, I did the Lord of the Rings tour.
Yes.
Which was fabulous.
That's down around Queenstown.
And I did it in Auckland and Wellington.
Yep.
So Auckland is where the actual set was, and it's New Zealand's largest working movie set. It is extraordinary. It is really an amazing destination for those people who are interested in film and who are not getting to Los Angeles or Bollywood anytime soon.
Yep.
It's a wonderful place to visit.
Okay.
The scenery is spectacular. The north of New Zealand, unsung but gorgeous. The Bay of Islands,
yep,
etc. So I think that New Zealand as well, some of those beautiful lodges, the Hooker Lodge, I don't know if you've been there, Graham, some of those beautiful lodges that have sprung up.
Oh, I can't afford Hooker
late.
Lodge,
Brent. Well, that's right. I was very lucky in that I was extended an invitation to go spend some time. But they really are spectacular. Some of those lodges are up there as the best lodges in the world.
Yes, I believe they are. They consistently rate very highly with Travel and Leisure and magazines like that, Condé Nast. What about Queenstown as a sort of total destination? That's pretty hard to beat, isn't it?
I love Queenstown. Queenstown in summer and in winter. Summer, just to look at the beautiful mountains, enjoy the lake scenery. Those people who like to bungee jump. Those people who like to, I don't know, spend some time jumping out of aeroplanes, exploring the terrain. It is a place like no other. Sometimes I feel when I'm in Queenstown that I'm on the moon. I feel like I'm somewhere totally different. It is just the most wonderful, wonderful destination.
And of course, if you're a foodie, it's got all of that, and the wine. It's got fantastic wine.
It does. And if you ski, wintertime, it becomes a ski mecca.
There's actually a movie set up above Queenstown. I think it's like an old ancient Chinese village, and I think it was used for, I don't know if it was a Disney movie or something, but also the Koreans came and made a television show there because it had the sort of Korean look about it as well. But that's just above Queenstown.
That's right. New Zealand is becoming more and more a place for people to come and film movies because of the vast and varied landscapes.
Mm.
So there's everything. There's mountains, there's lakes, there's sea. Mm. Of course, the beautiful wildlife as well. And it's also, because it's so south, it's the gateway to those people who want to go and explore the Arctic region.
Now, Brett, I know with your work at Executive Edge and the Jewish cultural tours that you lead, you must spend a fair bit of time going to Europe, yeah?
I do. I'm there. Yeah.
Where are you typically going?
So typically I'd say, there's actually no typical for me. That's why I love what I do, because typical doesn't fit into my lexicon, because I like to do things that people wouldn't necessarily be doing on their own. Otherwise, there's no need for Brett to be there with them, is there?
Sure.
So really, I suppose my first trip was to the Baltics.
Yeah.
And we did an in-depth exploration of Lithuania and Latvia.
Right.
And in-depth, I mean we literally spent time in villages, what we used to call shtetls, places where my grandparents and great-grandparents came from. And we spend time listening to the locals, talking about what they remember.
Yes.
And when I talk about cultural tours, that's really what I'm talking about. The destination in itself is important, but for me, more important is really the people who are occupying those destinations.
I think it's unfortunate. A lot of people who travel take photographs, buy postcards, a souvenir hat, and don't actually get to talk to the locals. And it's interesting in another area of travel that I'm involved with, the business travel side, a lot of corporations are now taking their achievers away. Instead of just fading them in the 5 and 6 star hotels, they're actually taking them out into villages to have dinner with a local family.
Well, Graham,
in various parts
that
of the
is
world,
very important
to get and talk and understand how the other half live. Because if you're a high flyer from a Collins Street, ASX listed company, and you've just achieved your result for the year, do you care about what happens in Cuba and other parts of the world? You probably don't.
That's
but here
true.
Is a sort of a total sort of integrated form of a holiday, a reward trip actually. Well, and you're obviously in that same wavelength.
That's true. Well, I can tell you that when we took our students, for example, to Poland, I've been to Poland maybe 5 or 6 times with the students alone, never mind adults. But when we take the students, we always take a videographer and photographer with us.
Yep.
For the simple reason that we say to them, no iPhones, no cameras.
Yep.
Somebody will be there documenting you at all times. They'll take photos of you and your friends and explore the stuff that you're doing.
Yep.
But you need to witness this through your eyes and not through a lens. Because I think one of the traps that, myself included, is that we see something beautiful, the first thing that we do is we reach for our pockets, don't we?
Selfie,
we reach for our phones and selfie. And
yeah.
And then I think back to it and I think, well, hold on a second. Wow, I'm trying to remember the moment. But I remember the photo, but do I remember the moment itself?
Sure.
And that's something that I try and grapple with myself. Put away the phone. Keep the iPhone in the pocket.
Yeah.
Because it is so tempting to want to document all the time and really not to be in that moment.
Yeah, I think that's a valid
point. I'll tell you a quick
story.
Last year, I was at a beautiful hotel called Il Pelicano. I don't know if you know it. It's in Tuscany. It's on the Tuscan coast.
Sorry, sounds Italian.
It is absolutely magnificent. And I was on a lilo in the middle of the sea.
Right.
I walked down the cliff. They give you a lilo. I lay down and I thought to myself, this is what travel is all about. Here I am in the middle of the most spectacular destinational scenery, talking to wonderful people just a moment before, eating wonderful food just the moment after, and yet there I was floating in the middle of absolute paradise.
Yeah.
Closing my eyes, no phones, no technology, there I was alone with my thoughts in heaven. That, for me, was a true travel moment.
Yeah, that absolutely is. And I think there might be a photo of you doing that on a website.
There could well be.
I think I've seen you on a lilo.
There could well be.
You
I had my sister there
relaxed.
And I said, snap it when I'm inside.
Yeah. You did look very relaxed. And I also saw a photo of you in Florence. You're in front of the Duomo, weren't you?
I was. The Duomo in Florence is a very special place for me because it's one of the first travel memories that I have from when I was a kid.
Right.
So I remember that imposing building, and I'm there every year. So
right.
In July this year, I'll be in Florence again. This year, we're taking a tour along the Danube River.
Right.
We're going to Budapest, we're going to Prague, and we're going to Vienna with the Four Seasons.
Beautiful.
It's going to be a wonderful heritage tour. This will be a Jewish heritage tour. Not all tours of mine are Jewish.
Yep.
For example, next year, we're doing a wonderful tour through Provence, which is an opera tour. We're going to be heading to Aix-en-Provence.
Yep.
I'm opera singer trained, and that was part of the stuff that I did and still do, I suppose. And we're going to be attending that festival, which is wonderful, and exploring the lavender around the scene and enjoying Provence and the food and the wine. Because today, as you know, people spend a lot of time and focus and energy on choosing the right restaurant, the right meal, the right wine to pair with that meal as well. And we help people to make those decisions because and obviously there's so many opportunities for them to choose.
Is that a commercial tour? Is that out there in the public?
That's
the public
out there in the public, correct.
Okay, so people can contact you at Executive Edge about that.
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll give the details at the end of the show.
That'll be wonderful.
And I'll
That'll
put them up on our SoundCloud site. So
very much appreciated. Thank
numbers
you.
And web addresses, etc. Now, the three loves of your life, the sort of educational aspect of teaching, working with children, the singing and the travel. You combine those. I read a story that Danny Gox, who's a former colleague of mine from the Herald and Weekly Times, he wrote in the Jewish News about you, and that you would go into some places, and maybe you would go to the shul, and that you would sing. Is that something you still do?
Yeah, look, put me in front of a microphone and I'm in heaven.
Right,
but I mean, in a synagogue, and I will sing as much as I possibly can. And we do. Every single synagogue that I attend,
yes.
Be they functioning or not functioning, if I'm with the group or if I'm by myself, it doesn't matter. I love to hear the acoustics.
Yes.
I love to smell that wonderful aroma of being in a place of worship and standing up on the bima, which is the platform of prayer, and just to hear how the voice reverberates around the room. So, absolutely.
Mm.
So, travel is a passion. So to incorporate my singing and, of course, my teaching by leading tours and by sharing the knowledge that I have, along with the expert guides that we bring along at every destination as well, for me is heaven. There I am, enjoying all three of my passions.
That's incredible.
At once.
They say that, you know, travel broadens the mind, but to be able to do all of those things must be a really special thing for you.
It is. And I worked hard to get there, I have to say. It didn't just happen.
Mm.
I did a lot of soul searching. And thinking the things that I wanted to do moving forward, moving into the next part of my life. And when this opportunity presented itself to me, I thought to myself that this would indeed be something that I would love to explore further and see how it went. And here I am sitting talking to you, and it's just been spectacular. Wonderful.
Sounds wonderful, Brett. Were you always going to be a cantor or in some way connected with the traditions of Judaism and
So my father
teaching?
Was the choir master of the great synagogue in South Africa, in Durban, where I grew up, where there was a very strong culture of cantorial music and choral music. And I took over conducting that choir when I was 18.
Right.
I emigrated to Melbourne when I was 19, and it just fell straight into it. There was an opportunity in one of the synagogues. They were looking for a choir master.
Yes.
And then for a cantor. And one thing led to another, and that brought that took me on my journey. I studied in Israel for 2 years with one of the great cantors of our time, Naftali Herstik. And I fell in love with Israel then as well. And, of course, many of my tours explore Israel. At the end of the year, we've got a wonderful tour. It's a singing and dancing tour of Israel.
Really?
It is. We've got 2 weeks up exploring areas that are a little bit off the beaten track.
Okay.
So for those people maybe who have already been there and done that, which is really a theme of most of my tours.
Yeah. But they wouldn't have sung and danced, would they?
Well, they wouldn't have, and they wouldn't have seen many of the sights that we'd be seeing through the prism that we're going to be viewing it through. And that's really the unique
aspect. So what are the cities you're going to quickly?
So we'll be in Tel Aviv. We'll be in Jerusalem. But then we're going to spend a lot of time in the Arava, in the desert.
Yes.
There'll be an optional tour to Petra. Oh. And we're going to be spending a lot of time up north in the mountains.
Wow. Sounds
the forests in the mountains.
Now, you said December, right?
December.
Okay, so it's a cool time of year.
It's winter time. Yep. Down south, 23, 24 degrees, yep. Perfect weather.
Yep.
Up north can be a bit chilly, but you know that's why we have our jumpers and our jackets.
Absolutely.
And the weather most of the time is really wonderful.
Okay.
Israel's always a place to explore at any time of the year.
You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on J-Air 87.8 FM.
And now you've done some recording, haven't you?
Yeah, I've done a fair bit of recording.
So how can people listen to your work?
So I've released...
Apart from turning up at Chul on
Saturday mornings, absolutely. St Kilda Synagogue, one of the oldest and most beautiful synagogues in Melbourne. Mm. I have released 7 albums.
Wow,
some liturgical.
Yes.
Some more in the musical theatre genre.
Yes.
So they're available at, I know Readings, we're stocking some. The various Jewish museums, the Holocaust museums, the St Kilda Synagogue website.
Okay. Are they available as digital downloads? Can you
some are, yes.
Buy them? Yeah.
Yes, more and more. More and more. And I'm actually in the process of developing my website because I need to get with it, I suppose.
BrettK.com.
That would be it.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that's actually it, is it?
Well, that's the plan.
Okay. Well,
that's the plan. We bought the domain, so...
.com or .com.au?
.com.au.
Okay.
So we're going to be developing that.
It's lovely, lovely to hear. And you do have a beautiful voice. I did listen to something on YouTube yesterday.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Which was very lovely. Brett, I wanted to ask you, you know, with all the work you do, it must be exciting sitting with people and helping them plan their holiday. I mean, it's something I love. In fact, the first thing you do after you get back from holiday is plan the next one, because that gets you over the holiday lag or whatever you might be suffering, I think. But you must have some great tips for people who do want to travel. Maybe we can go through a few. Say, for example, I want to travel with my wife. We're a couple. We want to go and do some things. What are the things that you've encountered that are good tips for couples who are travelling together? Then I'm going to ask you about families.
Okay. So, look, I suppose when we talk about couples, once again, I think the most important thing about being a travel consultant is really getting to understand the people that are sitting in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some couples that I know who just want to go and relax,
yep.
Run away from the world, just be alone, enjoy their own time and their own company. And for those people, there's some beautiful villas in some beautiful destinations. It might be Tahiti, for example,
yep.
Which I love. It's one of my favorites. There you go. I see the hat you're wearing there.
Yeah.
That's right, Tahiti tourism. And more that's becoming accessible to us Australians.
It's been difficult, Tahiti, hasn't it? Because you've had to go via New Zealand.
That's right. That's
right.
It'd
be great if they flew direct.
That's right. But once again, like we said earlier on, if you combine that with a few days in New Zealand, it becomes a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
And also the Paul Gauguin cruises are wonderful there too.
Yes, Paul Gauguin. They're
which really brings beautiful. Me on to another topic, which for couples, which is cruising.
Yeah. How do you
for
feel?
For those people, I'm a cruisy. I love it. I think it's a wonderful way to see the world. I've cruised in many destinations around the world for most of my tours, so that you know I always will add on a pre or a post, and most of the time that's with the cruise.
Right.
I have my favorites, but once again, it very much depends on what people like. Bigger ships, smaller ships, monster ships.
Mm. And cruising, actually, when you start to do the numbers, cruising is quite good value per night if you were to compare it with a hotel on land.
It's very good value. Even the more expensive cruises, when one takes into account the food, the beverage offers that are now mostly all-inclusive, and the wonderful accommodation. You know, in the old days, I wasn't around to see, but I've read such wonderful articles about people who used to go and explore the world in a berth that they shared with 6 people.
Yeah.
One toilet, and paid lots of money.
Yeah. My grandmother used to go on these cruises to the Orient, and that's how they termed it.
There you go.
Or it might be to London, you know, and it took weeks and weeks and weeks.
That's right.
These days, of course, we don't always have the time to do those huge super cruises, but... Gee, there's lots on offer around Australia and Australasia now, isn't there?
There certainly is.
The big American
beautiful ships are now coming to our waters.
Yeah.
They're docking in Melbourne, they're docking in Sydney, and And really, we're getting the opportunity to explore our own beautiful landscape.
Absolutely.
On these wonderful, wonderful vessels.
So that's a good idea for a couple. I like that idea. What about for a family? Are cruises good for families? Or
well, I think they're wonderful. I think they're absolutely wonderful. And more families are sitting in front of me and are saying, what would be the cruise for us? Not would be the destination, but what would be the cruise for us?
Right.
So cruise lines such as the Royal Caribbean, yep, are wonderful for kids.
Yep.
Cruise lines such as the Norwegian line, yep, Norwegian NCL, have got these wonderful new ships that they've built, with water slides and with mountain climbing,
yep,
and with
bumper
the most,
cars. I read on one
the most incredible. I mean, the mind boggles.
Yeah.
It's like being on a floating city. The Disney cruises,
yes,
are wonderful. It was very cute. I remember when I was in Venice 2 years ago, I was taking a tour, and we were on the beautiful Silver Spirit.
Yes,
and next to us was one of the Disney boats, and when they were taking off, and the horn honked, it was which I thought was absolutely fabulous. I thought it was fabulous. I loved that. And really, I mean, I think that for a family, a cruise is an amazing option.
Yeah.
All the food, all the drinks, all the entertainment, wonderful babysitting activities, and parents can just sit back at the pool and relax.
I guess some might have a fear that the child could go overboard. Is
yeah,
that
look,
a genuine fear?
That's
or?
Always a fear, but one could have that fear anyway. You know, a child can hop out a window,
yeah.
Most kids know what to do and what not to do. The one tip that I would give,
yep,
for families who go on one of those big ships, buy a set of walkie-talkies before you go.
Okay, so you can talk to each other.
Give a walkie-talkie to your child,
yep,
and you can be in contact with them all the time.
You wouldn't want to try to use the mobile at sea. That they're outrageous overseas anyway, but when you add the cost of satellite...
I've been bitten a few times.
Yeah, it's a worry. Now, just finally, singles. There's a lot of people who are single either by choice or the death of a partner, or they just, have always been single and they want to travel, but they're often getting hit with single supplements and things like that. Is there a way around that for them? Like, do you do tours where you might put a group of singles together? Not that you're trying to matchmake, but that you might sort of take a group and make a group.
Right. Well, I can tell you that most of the tours that I take, I would say 20 to 30% of the participants would be single people.
Okay.
Sometimes more. Last year we went to Morocco, for example. And we had a group of 33 people,
yeah,
and of those, there were 16 single people.
Okay.
So there was an opportunity. Single supplements can prove to be a challenge.
Yes.
As much as possible, we try and minimize it, but hotel rooms,
yep,
require X amount of money per room per night, so we therefore have to pass that on.
Yeah.
Some ships, for example, I was talking about the Norwegian Cruise Line earlier on, some of their new ships, they have very little cabins. By little, I mean 100 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Which is quite tight.
Yeah.
It's a double bed, a very cute little bathroom, very modern. They make the furniture inside makes the room look a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But they are specifically and solely for single participants.
Okay.
Single travelers, and there's a lounge on that same level where people can go and meet, and those rooms sell out almost instantly.
Is that right?
There is such a demand for those rooms. Because it's true, people who are single like to explore the world, but as you know, it's nice to explore the world with somebody else.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't have to be romantic.
Yeah. No, but also at the end of the day, it might be that, you know, your singles will gather at the bar at the restaurant, and of course there's a social engagement, because I think part of the whole thing is the loneliness of what happens in the evening.
That's right.
They retreat to their room and
they
read a book. They don't feel like going out because they don't...
That's true.
Maybe they don't know where they're going. They don't feel safe.
That's true.
So it's an interesting sort of option, isn't it?
Yes, like next month we're going to Cuba.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to ask you about Cuba.
So we're getting in, I think, just at the right time. The
Ritz-Carlton
is opening soon.
Turns up, yeah.
And once the Ritz-Carlton will be opened in Havana, we know that, McDonald's will follow, as you said.
Yeah.
So we're very excited that... We're going to be exploring Cuba through a Jewish lens,
yes,
but at the same time taking in many of all the iconic sites of Cuba, the wonderful salsa dancing, the wonderful food, and of course the people, getting
Cuba,
to know the people.
Has Cuba maintained a decent-sized Jewish community, or
no, Cuba
the
never,
regime wouldn't permit that?
The regime actually weren't that unsupportive.
Right.
However, Cuba was, for many people, a stepping stone to get into America.
Yes.
Those people who remained have themselves a good life, but they're supported by an organization called the Joint Distribution Committee, the JDC,
mm-hmm,
which supports many Jewish communities, the Jewish communities of Eastern Europe, for example,
right,
the Jewish communities of Morocco, And Cuba is no exception. And so we're going to be going and joining them, and they're going to be showing us the work that they do.
Okay.
And helping us to explore Cuba in a totally different way.
Okay. David Chilberg, whose show is before ours on a Wednesday, Israel Connection, he's just come back with his wife from Cuba. Had a few little challenges there with the medical issue, but he enjoyed the place, but says, well, you know, you've got to be prepared. It's not quite the same star level as you might have here in Australia. So something called three-star possibly is only two. Are you able to do it in a way that people will be satisfied with their accommodation and the food and the rest
of it? Well, look, and I think this is a tip for travel in general. It's all about expectation.
Yeah.
One needs to set a realistic expectation before the trip and understand the challenges that one might confront along the way. And Cuba is full of challenges, but for those people who want to go and explore something that is largely untouched by modern technology, go and explore a region that will soon be filled with an influx of American tourists and people from all over the world, and get in while the going's good, I think now's an amazing time to do that. So absolutely. It's about managing expectations.
Yeah.
Telling people that you're not going to get the Ritz-Carlton at the moment.
Yep.
But
it's
at the same time, you're going to get a clean veg, you're going to get a bathroom, you're going to get good food,
you're
going to have a wonderful tour guide, and spend time with wonderful people.
Now, one final tip from you.
Yes,
I want
sir.
You to tell me some place that hardly anybody knows about that you think is the world's best-kept travel secret that they could start Googling and see about going to visit.
Wow, that's a toughie. Look, I think that... I'll tell you what I think. I think, I don't know about whether nobody's been there, but I love the Stans. Uzbekistan...
Yep.
Georgia, I think, is the most wonderful, wonderful destination that not many Australians have begun to visit yet. Mm. Abercrombie and Kent have now started some wonderful tours to that region of the world. So I would say, look, you got me there thinking for a second, because once again, there's so many options. But I think that for us, exploring those regions of the world, Tashkent, for example, is one of the most incredible cities.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. Our top 10 destinations for listeners consistently has Tashkent and Uzbekistan, obviously, in the top 10. I think the last figures I got from SoundCloud, it was number 9. And, you know, we're largely heard in Australia and the US, and then it runs down France, Germany, Poland. Israel's about number 8, I think. And number 9 was Tashkent. Number 10, I think, was Canada. But, you know, it always amazes us. We sent a cheerio. We were 3 last week on the show. So we sent a cheerio to the Uzbeks who are listening. I don't know whether there's a bunch of expats over there. They might hear this and respond to us this time. I don't know.
Well, let's hope so. And there's also an incredibly large Jewish community in Tashkent too.
Is that right?
Very
large. Maybe that's part of the explanation.
Very large. And the other thing that I think that people should get down and explore is the wonderful ice festival.
Yes. Is that in Sapporo somewhere?
That takes place in China.
Ah, yep. Okay.
Which is in December, January.
Yeah.
Which is really wonderful. Which is something that...
Which part of China is that?
So it's just on the border, near the border of China, and the name has escaped me.
Right.
It is the Ice Festival in...
You'd fly to Beijing though, would you?
Beijing or Shanghai.
Yeah.
And
people can Google it.
It might come to me within the next 30 seconds. It might not.
The China Ice Festival. Sounds fantastic. Now, Brett, I want to thank you so much. Brett works with Executive Edge Travel. They are in 242 Hawthorne Road, Caulfield. And the phone number there, 9519-7777.
That's the one. You've got it.
9519-7777. What's the website?
The website is www.executiveedge.com.au. Proud members of the Virtuoso Worldwide Network.
Right.
And all the clubs that we think of, the Mandarin Oriental Club, the Four Seasons Club, etc. Yeah. And so the list goes on. The Peninsula Preferred, and so
Belmont,
the list goes on.
And
we've got them all, and we are proud members, and they support us wonderfully, and we love to support them too.
So if you want to do something with a little bit of luxury, go and see Executive
Absolutely.
Edge.
Absolutely, we'd be very happy to help you.
Brett, it's been great having you on Travel
Thank
Writers
you very
Radio.
Much.
And we're going to hand over the microphone now to the guys from Nothing Left.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.